Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Mesechet Kiddushin is daf tet, and we're holding right at the bottom line, the last few words on Chet Amud Beit. And we've been discussing what is considered to be a nitina, where the woman has actually been willing to be mekabel the kiddush. We had all kinds of very cute kind of situations. Woman wants a cup of coffee. Woman wants to be saved from a dog who's chasing after. So we had these questions before. Then we're going to continue into various situations in which the woman agrees to accept. But the question is the acceptance for the purposes of Kiddushin? So who gavra daviko masbin chumre pitachiyata is our girsa. Rashi understands the pitachiyata, if that's the girsa specifically. So then he understands it to be this type of costume jewelry that's made out of glass and so on. But he suggests that we're talking about buttons, or he actually used the words buttons, and he says they're tin buttons. And they basically, they put them all along like a necklace on a long strand and sell them that way. So they open up the strand and they take them off, whatever. Others learn that it means just sewing goods, a little sewing kit, a lot of different things together, a number of different approaches. But the point is that these are like these cheapo things that they sell, but that are worth a shavar pruta. And comes along a woman and she says, give me one strand of those buttons, will you? So the seller says to her, and if I give it to you, will you be my wife? And she says, come on, just give it, will you, please? Omrale hava miava. Omrevchama, look, I mean, saying, come on, just give it. I mean, that obviously is not indicative of an acceptance of Kiddushin. So when you say it that way, love klumi, that doesn't really mean that she wants to have the Kiddushin. And therefore, we don't view that as being a real acceptance. It's just saying, basically, stop kidding around, will you? Just give it to me. So that's what it means. Another case that is similar to this one is also who gavadavik ashati chamre b'chanuta. It was a guy who was sitting and he had this nice cup of wine in a what do they call those places where you drink wine? A pub. Pub, yes. And this woman comes over and she says, come on, give me a cup of that wine. Buy me a drink. He says to her, and if I do, will you buy my honey bunny? And she says to him, come on, just give me a drink. Ashkui Ashkian. So Rav Chama says, look, I mean, saying it that way, yeah, absolutely, pour me out a drink just means stop kidding around. And therefore, even when she drinks that wine, it's not going to be a condition. Another similar case was a guy up on top of a palm tree, and he's throwing down these dates. And this woman comes along and says, send me a couple of them, will you? He says, and if I do, will you be my wife? He says, come on, send them down, throw them down. On Rav Zvi, kol shiti mishta, lav klumu. Saying it that way doesn't mean that she actually wants to be Mekadesh. She just wants the dates. Now, the question is, is the indication specifically because she said it twice? So saying it twice is like, come on, just throw it already, you know? And it doesn't have any sense of being a serious acceptance of the offer. But what if in all of these cases, we would have substituted a one-time response? So what if she said, have, give me, meaning the case of the buttons, or ashke, come on, give me a drink. Oh, Shade, throw me the dates. What about that? What if she didn't repeat it? Mahu. Would we also have assumed that in context, she doesn't really mean it as accepting a proposal of marriage? Ravina says, no, in that case, she would be Mekudeshes. And Reb Sama Barakta Amar, by Caesar's crown, I swear, she's not Mekudeshes. The context itself indicates, without needing the repetition, it just means, give me a drink already. We pask, and now we're going to go through the various sugyas that we just talked about. Let's put them all together. The halacha is indeed like Reb Sama Barakta. She is not mekudeshet, even though she did not repeat herself. And what about the other issue, the machlokas between Reb Yosef and Rava? Hilchata Shirai Lo Tzricha Shuma. The halacha is that these expensive, the machlokas that we had before about these expensive textiles, according to Rav Yosef, the second lashon of Rav Yosef, was that the textiles are only considered to be the equivalent of kesev when they have a specific value. And the first lashon in Rav Yosef was that there's an afkamina if you say whatever they're worth, or whether perhaps she is not really sure that they're worth what it is that they're supposed to be worth. The halacha is we do not need appraisals before giving it for kedusha. And as I mentioned to you earlier, when we learned that there's a machlokas poskim about this, this applies to all situations or to things which generally need appraisals. You don't know the difference between a diamond that's worth $1 million and a diamond that's a piece of glass. And that kind of thing definitely does need to have appraisal, which is why we don't use diamonds for marriage. So that halacha is actually like Rabbah. And that other machlokas, well, it wasn't a machlokas, actually. They questioned, why does it say Hilchata if nobody argued? But there's lots of places in the Gemara where it says Hilchata, even though there's no argument. And that is Hilchata Rabbi Elazar. We actually paskin that way, that if a guy says, be mekudesha to me with a mana, and he gives her only a dinner, then we understand that this is equivalent to accepting a condition that I'll pay you later, and that the kedushin itself as a kinyan should be made specifically with this dinner. And Allah is also kerava on Rav Nachman, which is when you give your Rolex watch as a mashkan, so then we say mana inkan, mashkan inkan, and there's no kedushin. Okay. Next, we've gone through now all of the variations that we've had to deal with when it comes to Kedusha Kesev. And meanwhile, we raised issues about a chetzi, sort of Kedusha for the half of the man or half of the woman. And we've talked about how to give her the Kedusha and how well she has to be aware of the fact that what this is worth and so on and so forth. Let's move on now to shtar. So it's true that we said before, ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. And so over there, we talked about bia. When it came to shtar, we were dealing with the hekesh that the Torah made with yitziyah and havaya. And there the Torah says, beferish, v'kos avlat sefer kritut. So let's see what the specific dinim are. How exactly do we go about it? Because remember, the idea of Kedushin Bishtar is not that Kedushin is a raya of a shtar, but rather it's very much like the get. It's the actual document that achieves the kinyan. So, katav lo al niyar, o al achera. So let's say here we're talking about Loshen Zohar, katav lo, because we're referring to someone who is taking a girl from her father. So he writes to him, either on a piece of paper or even on just a broken piece of pottery. And this is true even if it doesn't have any value. Afal pishem bo shava pruta. There does not have to be any element of kesev in it, and there doesn't have to be any element of nesina that requires value, as Tosus points out. So afal pishem bo shava pruta, he writes the following language, which are any of the languages that we used before that are meaningful in terms of the word kedushin. So you could say, bitcha mekudeshetli, that for sure. Bitcha meuresetli, bitcha lileintu, all of the various lashonos, hare zo mekudeshes. Maskev lo Reb Zera bar Mamal. I don't understand why exactly we can call this kedushin bishtar. Because this is not the way that we generally write a shtar. Even if you want to learn out Havaya and Yetziyah, I mean, doesn't it have to be similar to, let's say you'd be buying a field. Who writes the shtar? The person who writes the shtar is the person who is doing the selling, right? So you're selling a field, you spell out the fact that with the shtar, I am transferring the ownership on my field to so-and-so. But it's the seller, not the buyer. So hata mocher kotev lil. Let's say sadi mechur alachar, he writes, my house is mechur alachar, whatever it is. But over here, it's like the opposite. And it doesn't seem to follow the conceptual idea of being kaina something. So that if the husband or the person wants to be the husband, he writes, your daughter should be mukadesha to me. So how do you know that that's even called a shtar? In other words, we always have the person who is being makne and the person who is being kone. So over here, the man is being kone, and the woman who's giving herself over is being makna. So it's very similar to a shtar mecher, but it's not correct. It's not being done as a correct shtar mecher. So why don't we do it the way we would have to do it as a shtar mecher? How do you know that this is considered to be bichlal a shtar? Or my Rava, well, it's basically contextual. Just remember, Rava uses this approach many, many places. Rava learns that the way that the Pasuk says something provides a context for the halacha that we learn now. So, hata min yana dekra, v'hacha min yana dekra. It's actually based on the way that the Pasuk views the transaction, whether from the point of view of the buyer or the point of view of the seller. And if you take a look carefully at the Pesukim, you will see that it makes perfectly good sense that by a shtar mecher, we look at it as the seller, and by the shtar kiddushin, we look at it as the buyer. Why? Because where we were talking about selling. So hatam k'tiv, in that the whole story of selling that has to do with being able to buy back during Shemitah and so on. So what does it say? That if a person becomes poor, umachar me'achuzato, so who is the one that is the active doer in this case? The seller. He's selling part of his achuza. That means that the Torah makes the maisa of a sale actually coming from the point of view of the mocher. Subo mocher tala rachmana. And therefore, the one who does the action, which is making the kinyan, is the one who writes the shtar as the seller. Masha'in kain. When you're talking about Kedushin, remember what's our basic text, ki yikach ish isha. It's the male who is taking, and we take a look at it from the point of view of the buyer, and therefore, bebal tala rachmana. And so it makes sense that when we're going to write the shtar, we're going to write the shtar from the point of view of the baal, who is the active one. He's doing the lakicha. Well, yes, but I mean, this is not the only reference. I mean, you're choosing your psukim very nicely, Rava, to make things work out, but why don't we look at the full context of wherever the concept appears, not just choose your pasuk to suit yourself? I mean, when we're talking about sadot, we find the same language. It says, sadot, bekesev, yiknu. That's the whole story, remember, about right before the Golas of Bavel, so Yirmiyahu is told that he's supposed to go and he's supposed to buy the field and from Hanamel, and this is going to show you that there's going to be buying and selling in Eretz Yisrael, the whole beautiful story. Anyway, but the way that it's said to him is people should buy fields with money. Well, that seems to be talking about buying from the point of view of the buyer and not from the point of view of the seller. So what are you picking and choosing? I mean, if it's different psukim, so how can you say that it's the lashon of the pasuk that is the reason that we decided to go for sales from the point of view of the seller? Well, I mean, look, you can use understanding that kri be yiknu, that they shall actually be makne, which would then mean that people should sell fields. So, I mean, this pasuk can also be understood as being from both points of view. So, mamela, we could go and go back to the original pasuk that we brought from the Torah itself. This, after all, is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. We'll bend it to fit in together with the pasuk in Vayikra. Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, you could do the same thing with the ki kachi shisha. I mean, my time akarita behi yiknu. Why are you going to say that it should be yikanu? What's yikanu? Because you wanted to make it work out with the pasuk umachar me'achuzato. Well, you can do the same thing over here. You could read ki yikach as ki yakach. And that would work with et bitina tati leishazeh. Doesn't it say in the Torah that I gave my daughter to this guy? Well, I mean, that's talking about Kedushin from the point of view of the seller. So we could have the same idea be allowing us the same leeway. And therefore, why are we still sticking to a completely abnormal type of contract where it's written specifically based on the kiyikach? If you say that it's all contextual, Rava, we could have based it also on the way that we could smooth the differences between the psukim and have the biti natati le'ish hazeh also be talking about the point of view of the father. If we want to be able to make it actually not contradictory. That's a point, says Rava. This was one of my favorite ideas, you know. But all right, I'll move on. The truth is, El Amar Rava, Hilchata Ninu, V'yasbechinu Rabbanan Akroi. The truth is that this idea of looking at this pasuk for Mecher and at this pasuk for the idea of Kiddushin, the real vision of Shtarot, or actually Alokha Lavesh Misinai, and we're just bringing these psukim as more of an indication where in the Torah is the pasuk that actually indicates this halacha. This is the way that Rashi understands it. Now, Tosfos does not believe that this is halacha l'mashim Sinai. If it is halacha l'mashim, he has a number of kashas that indicate to him that it's not really halacha l'mashim Sinai. Because if it were, why would we be arguing about the psukim later? And basically, he says, you want to learn it's halacha l'mashim Sinai, so then you can learn that the halacha l'mashim Sinai is not on both of these. When it comes to the din of the Yatzah v'Haisa, that's the real marker of Kedushin Mishtar. It may mean that Mecher is halacha l'mashim Sinai. And he brings other places where we talk about things as halacha l'mashim Sinai, where actually only one of them is halacha l'mashim Sinai. And he says, you know what? It might even mean when it says hilchasa, it doesn't even mean halacha l'mashim Sinai. It may mean hilchata midina, meaning these are the ways that things are done standardly, and that therefore they are, the shtar is the way that is commonly done. So it means hilchata in the terms of hilchata medina, perhaps. Okay, so we have a machlokas rishon. But in any event, that's one approach. The other approach is that actually it says even over there where we're selling the field, it says beferish v'akach et sefer hamikneh. You can't argue with that. Yirmiyo describes the actual event, and he says, I took from the seller the contract of sale. Okay, so it's very, very clear. If you're telling me who does the lakicha, I mean, man, that's 100%. You can't argue with that. And that is a direct juxtaposition. It's a mirror image of ki yikach ish isha. So therefore, that means what I said before. Makes a lot of sense. Who does the lakicha contextually? Who does the lakicha when it comes to a sale of a field? The lakicha is actually done of the contract from the seller. And who does the lakicha with the contract when it comes to kiddushin? Yikach ish isha. So let's stop arguing about that. V'yomer Rava Amar Reb Nachman. Now, I'm going to tell you, you had that brisa, and I'm going to put all of the dinim that I think should be included. I didn't really learn this in a brisa. But Reb Nachman basically structured all of his halachas with the same exact language of the braisa. So, Omar Rava, Omar Reb Nachman, Katav lo ala niyar o ala cheres, hafa pishen bo shava prut, exactly the language that the braisa used. Bitcha mekudeshetli, bitcha meoresetli, bitcha lila into. Now, this doesn't matter to me whether the shtar was accepted by daddy or was accepted by her. She would be mikudeshet as long as it would be midaato. The father would have to agree in the event that she was still underage, which means that she was shelo bagra. We need the das of the father until she becomes a bogeret. And furthermore, katavla ala niyaro ala cheres, If we're talking about an actual bogeret, at mikudashatli, at lila into, at muuresetli, all of these, she could be mikudeshet bein al yedei avia, bein al yedei atzma, but this is only if it's midata, that she had agreed and she told her father to be a shliach. That would also be fine. V'husha bagra. So depending on the situation, you need her das to accept it for her if she's a bogeret, and you need his das for her to accept it if she is not a bogeret. By Reish Lakish, this idea of a shtar erusin, how similar is it to a get? A get, we know, it says v'katav la, sefer kritut, right? So it has to be written la lishma. How about kiddushin? If we're learning out v'yatzava haita, and you need to write a shtar for kiddushin, does it also require lishma? So shtar erusin sheketavo shelo lishma mahu. Because I'll tell you why I'm not sure. I mean, I know you're going to jump at me for, well, what do you think? If the whole basis is the idea of a get, why would it not be lishma? I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this. We have avayot liyitziot makshina. It's true that the idea over here comes from the interrelationship of marriage to divorce. And we say, just like yitziyah be'inan lishma, so you would assume that if I need to write a shtar, it has to be the same as the shtar of the get. So just like the shtar of the get has to be lishma, so too the shtar of the havaya, of coming into kedushin, also needs to be lishma. But I'll tell you why I'm not 100% sure. Because since we could say that the havayot lahadadi makshina, I mean, there are three ways of achieving this kedushin. And the Torah puts them all in an interrelated fashion in the Torah. You can achieve this kedushin with kikach, with kesav, or ubala. We'll see the interrelationship as well with shtar later. So they would all be compared to each other. I mean, if the havaya that you achieve with giving money, well, you certainly don't need lishma, you don't need to strike a coin. Yes, I know it's a nice gesture. Hariat mikudeshetli with this coin, beautiful. But you don't need to do that, right? You could just take a regular 5-cent coin and be mekadesher. So we should say, okay, so obviously there's no din of lishma as a general rule in kedushin. So why all of a sudden, when we use a shtar, would we need to have it lishma? So in the same way that havaya de kesef lo be'inan lishma, af havaya de shtar lo be'inan lishma. So what do you think? The Baya, after Reb Shimon ben Lakish asked the question, he said, I figured it out myself, other Pashta, since over here the whole basis of shtar is only a get, so then we certainly have to look at that as the prime source. In which case, Havaya liyitziyah makshina, diyamakrava yatzava haita, and that is more fundamental than the fact that the Torah gave alternatives for kedushin, and therefore, for sure, it has to be written lishma. That's for sure. But now, the question is, can I write it without her being involved at all? She didn't authorize me to write this. I just decided, they used to have that, I forgot what it was a TV program where they would separately interview a man and a woman who've been married for a long time. I forgot what it's called, the marriage game?
The newlywed game. Up to 11 months.
Okay, so the newlywed game. Okay, so then they would ask each of one of them what their perspective was. So when did you first get the idea of being married? It was amazing. They're totally different. Like, one of them was plotting to get the other one like months before or years before the other one even suspected. So now the question is, what about writing a shtar for a woman who has no idea? This is like that song, Hello, right? The Lionel, a beautiful song, right? So I don't know whether you even know I exist, but like, you're my dream. So that's the question. If you write a shtar like that, and she has absolutely no idea that you're writing this shtar, I mean, does it need like to have her das at the beginning, or does it just have to be written lishma? And isn't that like sort of part of the lishma? I'm writing it for her, but she has no interest in me. It's a fascinating question. So what if it's shalomi da'ata? So what would be the question? What exactly da'ata means? Does it mean just knowing? Or does it mean that she has to actually, you have to tell this over, I want it written? That's a machlokas rishonim. But in any event, it's a machlokas here between Rav and Ravina on one side, who says that she's mekudeshet, even though she had no idea that you were going to write it for her, whereas Rav Papa or Rav Sharvia say, Eina Mekudesh. Now, what's it based on? Says Rav Papa, listen, I'm very well aware of both sides of this argument, and I could tell you what I think. I could tell you, first of all, I want you to know that I understand fully the other side of the argument over here. So I'm going to tell you both sides. Eima Taima Didhu, I'm first going to tell you what Rava and Ravina believe, and then I'm going to tell you why I think they're wrong. So here's what they think. Ema time adidu. They think, well, it says v'yatza v'hayta, which means that we are being makish havaya l'yitziya. So now, you can write a get without the woman in any way authorizing the get, because a get can be ba'al korcha, right? So just like yitziya is perfectly okay, as long as it's written lishma, and she had no idea that you were planning on divorcing her, and then when you give her the get, it's a kosher get. Same thing is true over here. She had no idea that you were interested in marrying her. But then when you pull that shtar kedushin out of your pocket and hand it to her, since it was written lishma, that would be fine. So af havaya nami lishma v'shalomi data. Now that's what they believe. I'll tell you why I think they're wrong. Ve'ima taima didi. Now it says, Rav Papa, I'll explain to you why I don't think that's sufficient. Because v'yatza v'hayta means more than that. V'yatza v'hayta means makish havaya l'yitziya. Now, what that havaya l'yitziya means, we've already seen that there is an element of buying and selling that's involved here, right? I mean, that was the whole discussion we just had. Is the shtar written by the baal, or should the shtar be written by the seller, which is the isha? So that means you're already aware of the fact that there's a da'at makneh, and there's a da'at koneh, right? Okay, so when it comes to writing the get, the husband is the only one that needs to be aware, but that's because he is the one who is selling, so to speak. In other words, he is being makneh, any rights that he has, he's handing them over to his wife, and he no longer will have those rights in her. Well, just like by the get, you need the da'at of the makneh, so he's the one who's giving away the rights. So the same thing is true over here. The woman is giving away the rights to herself to him. So then the very hekesh that my opponents, esteemed opponents believe is a raya that you don't need das, if anything, is the exact opposite. If we're learning out a shtar kedushin from a shtar of gittin, then the havaya needs the da'at of the makneh. Who is the one that's makneh in kedushin? The woman. So, of course, what good would it be without having an authorization to write this shtar? Remember, this shtar is not there as a proof. But there is a proof. Fine, you write it, and then when it's signed, then that's fine. This shtar is a inverse get. It actually achieves things. It's a performative document, in which case it has to be learned out from the other performative document, which is the get. Fascinating question. Meisvei. So in fact, the Gemara wants to know how Rava and Ravina are going to explain the Mishnah in Bava Basra. It says over there, Ein kotvim shtarei erusin v'nisuin elamidat shneihem. Oh boy, there you go. You cannot write, this appears to mean, a shtar of erusin appears to mean hareyat mekudeshetli, and a shtar nisuin seems to refer to the ketuva, which is weird. And there's big discussions over here among the Rishonim. How would you need the das shneihem when it comes to a ketuva? That's just a raya. Okay, there's a big issue of what it's referring to, because according to the Ritva, it's referring actually to a shtari psikta, which is the way that the Gemara comes out here, is the meaning of the shtari eris. And this is a big sugya of how to square these two shitas. But let's let that off for now, because we're interested in the shtari eris element. So I'm assuming that when you use the word shtari erisin, you mean what you say. You mean a shtar, right? To make a kedushin, right? So that's shtari erisin and nisuin mamash. And it says you need to have the das of both of them. Now that seems to back up Rav Papa 100%. That woman has got to be fully aware of the fact that you intended to marry her and that you're writing out the shtar for the purposes of that marriage. Says the Gemara, no, it's not talking about that. It's talking about shtare psikta. So what we're talking about over here is the type of shtarot that would be psikta. Psikta would mean like we write a tnoim, right? So that's the tnoim of the erisin. And then we have the agreements between the sides when we're going to go to the chuppah. Okay, how much money are you going to be putting into this marriage? I'm ready to buy the furniture. Are you ready to buy the car? And so on and so forth. The parents are discussing. This has nothing to do with the children at all. That's called shtari psikta. It's not a reference to the man and the woman. It's a reference to the parents, who usually seem to believe that it's their marriage anyway, and therefore they do whatever they want. So this shtari psikta, can Rav Gidel Amar Rav? Do you Amar Rav Gidel Amar Rav? Look, this is one of the interesting things. We don't write a shtar. Why? Because before you do the kiddushin, or before you go to the chuppah, so you got these kind of conversations. All right, how much are you putting into this on behalf of your son? And the father of this of the chosen says, kach v'kach. And how much are you putting in for your daughter, you bum? And he says, kach v'kach. Okay, and then they go ahead and they get married. Then that marriage itself becomes the binding contract for the conversation, even though it wasn't written up as a contract. So, omdo v'kichu kanu, hein hein advorim ha-niknin ba'amira, the discussion alone that ends up with kedushin, because it's so serious and each side is interested in consummating this understanding, that is the equivalent of a shtar. Nonetheless, you mustn't write it up. So you witness this. You mustn't write it up without both of them giving you authorization to write it up. Why? Because even though it's binding, if it's put into a shtar, then it's collectible even from the chasim that were sold, right? And you can't do that. So unless the people are willing to do that, they're willing to put a lien on all of their property. So to put a lien, it has to be actually in a shtar. Fine. Okay, so this has nothing to do with our sugya. Now let's move on to Uboala. So before we said, how do we know that you do kedushin with bia? It says so. Kikach ishisha uboala. And Rebbe said that is an alternative. Kikach ishisha. We learn how kicha kicha misteya from that money. And then uboala means you can achieve the same end through intercourse. Om Rebbe Abo, Om Rebbe Yochanan, Minolan, how do we know? And he totally ignores Rebbe. How do we know that you use bia for kiddushin? Diyomar krabu ulat ba'al. Whoa. Instead of using Rebbe, he uses the pasuk that describes the situation where someone is committing adultery. This is over there, ki yimatzei ish shochev im isha bu'ulat ba'al. So bu'ulat ba'al seems to mean that she became a ba'al al yaday be'ila. Melamed she'na'aseh la ba'al. He became her husband al yaday be'ila. That's how we know it. Omer le Rabbi Zeir le Rabbi Abo. Or some say Reish Lakish said directly to Rabbi Yochanan. Like, what's your problem, man? Ku'ura zo shishana Rabbi? Do you find Rebbe's pasuk as being particularly ugly that you need to find another pasuk? What was wrong with that pasuk? It made so much sense. Ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. What's wrong with that? Uba'ala malamet sheniknet bebiya. Answers Rabbi Yochanan. Imi hatam. Havamina adam kadish vader boya. Look, I'm not persuaded by that pasuk of Rebbe. I'll tell you very simply why. You read that pasuk. Ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. Okay, what does that mean? He first gives her money. So he gives her a ring, and then he sleeps with her. How do you know that this Ubala is an alternative to giving her a ring? Maybe it means that you consummate the marriage after you went ahead and gave her the money, and then we have the whole discussion of what happens afterwards and so on. But it's certainly not that that is the way to make her your wife. Therefore, since it says Bu'ulat Baal, which implies the Be'ilah alone is sufficient to create a Baal, Kamash Malan, that's good enough. Why, wait a minute, says the Gemara to Rabbi Yochanan. You could never have made that mistake. It's nonsensical. Matkiflo Rababa Bar Mama. How do you think that you could read the pasuk Yikach Ish Isha Uba'ala as meaning that you need both? So then there's no such thing as just being mu'ureset. You're saying that it requires kesef and be'ila in order to achieve matrimony, right? But if that's the case, how do you explain the psukim in the Torah about an arusa and the special dinim of an arusa? For instance, a nara hamu'urasa. So over there, normally if you commit adultery, the chiyuv is chenek, right? But it says if she's a mu'urasa and she's a nara, then there's a chiyuv of skila. There's no such thing. How could there be someone who's a skila if we're talking about where he was first gave her kedushin and then he was bayal? A nara murasa, the Torah says, has to be a nara bitula. And if the only way that he made her his wife was by consummating the connection, well, I got news for you. She ain't no longer a virgin. And therefore, what's the Torah talking about a nara murasa who is a bitula? You said that's nothing. She's not married. You said you need to give money plus be'ilah. So then there wouldn't be any adultery at all. Lav klumu. And if you were actually boil, then she's a bu'ula. So how's the case? Says the Gemara. I said, well, what's the problem? First of all, why are you so sure that just because you actually had intercourse with her, that therefore she's not a virgin? Why does that follow? I mean, I'm sorry to tell you about the birds and the bees, but the Torah is very clear about this. It talks about mishkevei isha, that it's possible to have intercourse in different ways, and not all of them are going to bust these bisulim. So you may have vaginally left her totally alone. She's still a bitula, and she is nonetheless completely married to you. So, like, what's your problem? So he gave her money, and then he sleeps with her anally, and that way, that's a complete kedushin. And now she goes ahead and commits adultery. So then there's the chiyav of skila. That's perfectly logical. Amar Abaye, it may be logical, but it ain't true. I'll tell you why. Because nobody holds that in a case where it's the husband himself who actually had intercourse with her, shelo kedarka, nobody holds that she's considered to be a betula. I know there's a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, which I'm going to tell you all about this, but that machlokas is only where someone else penetrated her anally. There is a question whether she can say machlokas, whether she is considered to be a betula or a bula. But if it's her husband, in this case the orus, that for sure turns her into beula. Avo ba'al divrei hakol im ba'alei shalot gedarka asa'a beula. What exactly was the Abaye referring to? Mahi? He was referring to this famous machlokas, to Tanya. Suppose you have a nara betula and she was gang raped. So you've got 10 people who slept with her. Bo alea asara anashim. So these 10 guys rape her, but she's still a bitula. So obviously, they raped her shelo kedarka. Then the din is that every last one of them is chayev skila, not chenek. So tainas the rabbana. Whereas Rebbe says, nope, I say only the first one is Biskila, because she was only a betula to the first one who raped her. But once he raped her, even though it was only anally, she's already considered to be a bu'ula. And all the rest of them are only going to be chayev chenek. the reason that Rebbe says Omer Ani, you'll notice that Rebbe always does that. Whenever there's a machlokas, the Chachamim say something, and then he says something else, he says Omer Ani, because Rebbe is very responsible to make it clear when this is his own opinion, or when it's the opinion of Rebbe Yudah Anasi, who is the one who's been taking in all of the various shitas and putting them into the Mishnah. He wants you to understand, this is my personal opinion, but I'm still telling you this, that you know, the Chachamim in general will disagree with that. Now, nonetheless, there's a difference if it's the husband who penetrated her. And we're going to see where we learn that from. And therefore, this is not a good response to Rabbi Yochanan. Because you can't tell me that, well, what's your problem? I mean, I'll teach you about the bird and the bees. I got news for you. The halacha is that nobody would have agreed to that statement. She definitely would have been considered to be a bula, and we have the same problem. How could you believe something like that if Lamaisa, she was not consummated, so then she's not married at all? If you really think it means ubala plus the kedushin, and if she were, even if it was shaloka darka, then she would be a bula, not a betula. So we've still got that. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Yochanan's in big trouble. Well, how does Rabbi Yochanan think that we could possibly have learned the pasuk like that? That ubala means, and in addition to giving her the ki yikach ishisha, also ubala. It doesn't make any sense. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchak, you could still have a simple case. I mean, what's your big problem? Why can't we be talking about a guy who was Makadish, a woman with a shtar? The Torah never said that if you give a shtar, you need to have ubala, right? So maybe the whole din of Nara Murasan, all of that Beskila, that's talking about a case where someone made her Mekudeshet by shtar. But Enochinami, if you want to use money, you need to consummate the connection afterwards. Okay? So however Gomer, I mean, do we need anything after giving a shtar for a get? No. Shtar for a get is 100% bye-bye. Okay, so then in the same way that it's Gomer Umotzi, it is learned out from Gittin, so then it's Gomer Umachnis. I'm not going to compare the case of the shtar to the case of the kesef. I'm going to compare it, as we just did a moment ago. I'm going to compare it to the get. And the din of a get is, nothing else is required. It's sefer kritut, and that's the end of it. So then it would be a sefer machnis, and that's the end of it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, since I could have learned all the psukim about mu'ureset, I could have learned that that's referring to the case Nara Betula, who's mu'ureset through shtar, I need to bring a pasuk for you that says bu'ulat ba'al, that you can become a ba'al through be'ila. That's the point. Okay. Now, that means according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no explanation for why it says ki kach ishisha uba'ala. You see, according to Rebbe, it says uba'ala to compare uba'ala to the yikach. You have two alternatives. You could either be yikach with a kesem, or you could be uba'ala. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have another pasuk. V'hi bu'ulat ba'al. Okay, so then that would mean that, I shouldn't have said v'hi bu'ulat, that's a different pasuk. Bu'ulat ba'al ki shkavish with the yishav bu'ulat ba'al. So what does he use the pasuk uba'ala for? Ah, note, says Rabbi Yochanan, it says uba'ala. Uba'ala means that only she can be nicknamed through Bia. That teaches me she can be nicknamed Bia. But an Oma Ivriya cannot be nicknamed Bia. Some of the Rishonim learn that when we're talking about the Oma Ivriya here, remember we said before that I wouldn't have thought that we could learn out the Oma Ivriya because it wasn't the same Ishas. That here the Gemara is talking about Oma Ivriya even in terms of Yi'ud, which is L'shem Ishas, which would mean that if the Odin wants to take the Oma Ivriya as a wife, he cannot take her through Bia. He can only take her by utilizing the Kesef that was paid for the purchase of the Oma to be a Kesef for Kedushin, and then she's his wife. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk Bo'ala comes to tell me, only this woman can be nicknamed Bibia. But an Oma Ivriya, cannot be nicknames by Bia, because I would have thought, Sagadaita Ramina, we could learn a Kavachomer from Yivama. Ma Yivama she'en nicknames by Kesev, nicknames by Bia. Zu she nicknames by Kesev, eno din she nicknames by Bia. Therefore, I need a Pusik to tell me, as we discussed earlier, that only a Pnuya and not an Amma Ivriya is nicknames by Bia. But I thought we said before that that's not a good kavachomer because a yavama is zikuka v'omenes. The Torah already made her semi-married to the through the brother. How would I have thought that an ama ivriya would be considered to be nicknames bebia? Well, I'll tell you why. See, this is also a riot to those shitas that were referring to yiud. Because in the case of yiud, the Torah says that even though the adon took her as the status of an Oma l'chatchila, but imacheret ikach l'shera k'suta v'onata lo yigara. If he takes another woman, he's going to have to treat her 100% like a full wife. He can't cut down on anything that he owes her. So there, I would have thought, since it says imacheret ikach lo, that means that the Torah is comparing the woman who was taken as an Oma to the Acheret. The Acheret is just a regular wife if he takes another regular wife. So just like the Acheret is nicknames Bibia, I would have thought that the Amma Ivriya herself is nicknames Bibia. Therefore, it says, Uva Allah, we can only be Kena her, the one who is at the Kiyikah, but not the Amma Ivriya. So according to this, according to those Shitas that understand that it's referring to Yehud, it would mean Aloha Lamaisa, that we learn out from here, you cannot achieve Yehud with Bia. Anyway, now the problem is that Rebbe, he said that the word Ubala is needed to teach me that you can make a kinyan of Erisin with Bia. So then how does he learn out this idea that Ubala means only her and not the Amma Ivriya? Says Rebbe, well, the Torah could have just said, Kikach ish isha Uba'al. Why does it say Uba'ala? I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's who it's referring to, isn't it? So therefore, I see you can learn both things. You learn out that Uba'al is a valid way of Kiyikach, and you learn out that it's only Uba'ala, it's only a valid way to be Lekach in the case of the Pnuya, but not in the case of an Amma Ivriya, Shmami Notarte. So we learn both in him from one Pasek. Yeah, but you know what's interesting is that Rava has an entirely different limud from that pasuk Uba'ala. And it's an amazing new idea, which requires a new Gavi entry. So we want to notify him in advance. Okay, on duty. Rava, what about according to Rava, who learns from this pasuk an amazing new halacha? Rava says, you know, this Godol B'Torah, Mr. Barahina, he was masbir to me, based on this pasuk, ki yikach ish isha uve Allah. You know what that means? You need to be able to take her to bed on the basis of this kedushin. Now, let me ask you something. Suppose there are two sisters, and you say, they both make a shliach, let's say, to be makabel kedushin, and you say, okay, I want to be makadish her with this bruta. And you give it, and he accepts it. And then he says, who? Which one? Well, you're in trouble. You can't sleep with either of them because each one may be the sister of your wife since you never define which one you're taking. And therefore, the idea that Barhina says from here is if you can't sleep with her, there's no kiddushin at all. And therefore, you ignore this entire event. Why? Because it says, ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. The marriage has to be, at the end, consummatable. And if it isn't, for whatever reason, it's not a marriage. And therefore, there was no kiddushin. How do I know that? Because it says, ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. Now, this really complicates matters, because we use the uba'ala, according to Rebbe, for two things. We used it to tell me, Be'ila achieves kiddushin. And we used it to tell me, uba'ala, only her, but not an Amma Ivriya. But Rav is using the Uba'ala to tell me that it wouldn't be a kedushin unless it could lead to Uba'ala. So then he doesn't have this extra word. How's he going to know any of that? So according to him, this idea, and here's the Gaviism, kedushin ha-misurin levi'ah havi kedushin. Kedushin she'en misurin leviyah lo avi kedushin. And according to him, ma'ikala meimar. So what are you going to do about the other such important dinim that you no longer have the Uba'ala to teach me? Says Rava, because im kein, if that's the only thing we need Uba'ala for both of these things. We need Uba'ala to teach me, like Rebbe says, Kedushin bia similar to Kedushin kesef. We need Uba'ala to tell me dafka for the Isha, not for the Oma Ivriya. You still can learn out my pasuk. Why? Why does it say Uba'ala? Why doesn't it say Oba'ala? That way we would learn both things. And very clearly, kikach ishisha, meaning with money, Oba'ala, meaning or he used Be'ila to achieve Erisin, and Ba'ala, only her, but not an Oma Ivriya. What's this Uba'ala? It doesn't make any sense at all. It's very misleading, as Rabbi Yochanan pointed out. Ah, I'll tell you why it makes very good sense. Because you need to be able to go from Kiyikach to Uba'ala. That's why. And if you're not going to be able to take her to bed, then you didn't achieve anything with this Ersatz Kedushin that you gave her. So we learn all three things from this pasuk by an analysis of information density. Shma mina kulo. This teaches us everything. Okay, but we're still left with an interesting question. According to Rebbe, we don't need the pasuk of Bu'ulad Baal. Because according to Rebbe, we learned from Uba'ala what it is that everybody's trying to tell us I need Bu'ulad Baal for, right? Rebbe Yochanan learned from Bu'ulad Baal that Be'ila makes a Baal. All right, but Rebbe doesn't need that. So what's it for? Ah, that's what we've been looking for all along. Rebbe says that comes to teach that Bu'ulat Baal, it's adding a new concept. A Be'ila of a Baal is always Be'ula. That's the point. So we're calling her a Be'ula because she was penetrated by a Baal, and it doesn't matter how and where she was penetrated. That's the point, that a Baal is unique. He turns her into a Be'ula. But whereas that's Rebbe Shita. Whereas Stam a person, you've got a rapist, 10 people rape, that would be different. We'll see what you do with the din of Rebbe by there in a moment. So Baal oseh ota Be'ula shelo kedarka, but nobody else makes her a Be'ula shelo kedarka. That's what it means. So that would mean that everybody would agree that a Baal makes her a Be'ula. What? What? Rebbe was the one who disagreed with that. What are you talking about? Mi isver le Rebbe ha'svara? V'tanya bo alea asora anoshim v'adayini betula kulam beskila? And Rebbe says, I say only the first one is beskila, and anybody who penetrates a woman makes her into a bu'ula, even if it's shelo kedarka, even if it's a rape. So what are you telling me that he learns that the Baal makes her a bu'ula, and nobody else makes her a bu'ula? Rebbe doesn't believe that. So what are you telling me? That's what he does with the pasuk. It's ridiculous. He's the one person that wouldn't have done that. Not true, says Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says Rebbe agrees. Even though he says, when it comes to this question of defining who's chayav skila for the rape of a nara of a betula, that's true, that he doesn't consider any of them, except for the first one, to have slept with a betula. That's true. But when it comes to knas, over there where we're talking about a bu'ulat ba'al, so over there we have a special halacha where she's not married. We're not talking about this. We've been talking about the case of a nara amurasa. But if you just have a nara and she's raped, so what's the, this, by the way, all of these psukim are in this week's parshas. You guys better get to work. Remember, all of these din, this is all about the relationship to women, which we start talking about the case of the Kiteitse Lamilchama, and you've got this beautiful girl that you want to take, right? It all starts with that, and all the din of the marriage follow with that. Make sure you read this week's essay. Anyway, so you've got all these psukim right there, perfect timing. So now what about knas, a 50 shekel for a virgin? So Rebbe is made that only a Baal will make a non-virgin. And rape will not turn her into a non-virgin when it comes to the issue of paying the 50 shekel. So Rebbe agrees all 10 of these guys are going to be considered rapists, and they all have to pay the fine.